Zero.
It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Monday, and as promised, our team IPSS is in the house. And I've got some questions lined up, Frank, for you today, because I, you know, a lot of people are very keen on finding out the ins and outs of how the security industry works, and I thought you'd be a perfect you'd be the perfect man to answer some of these questions. So, if I may, let's start at the top, just to set the scene. IPSS, how long have you been operating?
So you're going to put me on the spot again.
Of course.
Good morning.
That's why you're here. Well, why not? No,
right. Next year it will be 25 years.
And how?
As we run as IPSS Electronic Security, 25 years next year.
Things in this region have changed dramatically in 25 years.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
What are some of the biggest changes?
The biggest changes is that we have decreased crime virtually zero. If you look back 24 years, it's 25 years ago, we had, just take Saldrock alone, because I stay in Saldrock, you know, like, and we had at least an armed hijacking every second day.
In Saldrock?
In Saldrock, yeah. One armed hijacking every second day, yeah. But remember, that's when I started the Saldrock Neighborhood Watch, and we brought that down by 85%. These are police stats, 85% in 3 months, first 3 months.
Well, because one hardly hears of hijackings in this part of the world.
It's gone. We are one of the safest towns, I think, in South Africa. Must also remember the nobody knows the real size of population in Saldrock Belito. It's very difficult to say. But you'd have
an idea, because obviously you keep a watching brief.
A wild guess. I only have a wild guess. So I think if you take Saldrock again, must remember these are. They were mainly holiday homes, and from 25 years ago, I would say, I mean, remember, no estates in Saldrock that time. I would say 1,000 to max 1,500 houses, most of them holiday homes, so very, very little permanent residence. And now you're looking at Dunkirk was the first estate which was developed. Dunkirk, I actually sold that for my then wife, the estate, the farm. Dunkirk estate, then opposite Mount Richmond. Then Old Brett started with Brettonwood, with Hewlett. Then Mount Richmond started. Now you have Zululami, Ilaleni, Seton, Lalela. So now you have massive estates. In Balito, when you go to Balito, you have Wakenshaw was built by the Chapman family, by old Richard. No, is it Richard Chapman, I think? Yeah, he built Wakenshaw, and now you have Balito Hills, this monster in front of the mall, Odyssey Mall, whatever it's called. So, yeah.
And the Arcus development on the
Arcus
other side.
Arcus development on that side.
You've got
by,
a Seawood estate.
Yeah,
everything has grown
substantial increase in permanent residents.
Just a hazard a guess, 30,000?
That's sort of my guess, 30,000.
Yeah.
That's sort of my guess, yeah.
And the interesting thing is
compared to about 5,000 25 years ago, I think... 30,000, I think we are pretty spot on. It's very difficult to say.
And if you look at the statistics of the earning capacity in those numbers, which has been something that has been absolutely astonishing, the disposable income bracket now in the Balito and Salt Rock areas has increased unbelievably. I'm not going to quote figures because, you know, generally speaking, they are subject to debate. But it would appear that we have moved from, well, it was a retirement community largely initially back in the day, to a much different now demographic. And I mention this because this is the demographic that generally has high net value to protect in terms of property and vehicles and of course it's now moving into a different area as well. I'm talking security now for children going to school, because certainly, I'm not sure about this area, but in parts of the country, kidnapping has become a massive, massive threat.
Yeah, I predicted, and there must be an article out somewhere, somebody interviewed me many, many years ago, like virtually 15, 20 years ago, And I said this will become a big business in South Africa. And it's luckily not as big as I expected to get. I expected it to move down to this area as well. Many years ago, I was wrong. Luckily, I was wrong. But yeah, it is easy money. It is quick and easy money. I don't want to go into detail because otherwise I'm giving the kidnapper tips, you know. But it's quick and easy money. Yeah, and luckily it hasn't moved to this area.
And would you say the reason that it hasn't is because the private security sector is so strong in this area?
Okay, yeah, I would say yes. You must remember, I have cameras on all exits, number plate recognition. So we would catch the suspects within 24, 48 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's quite something.
Yeah, and we have done it before, so it's not something which I pull out of my ears, I would say. We have done it before. We have done it more than once before.
No, you've touched on the monitoring and the technology that you employ. What sort of surveillance and monitoring systems do you use in this region?
Well, I think we spoke about it previously. So we obviously have our cameras, which are 200 to 250, if I'm not mistaken, are our community cameras, which we get back to the community. So that's a lot. We have another 500-600 cameras on various estates. And what we're doing now is, so the last time I was here, you asked me, what are your future plans? And I said, I've got something up my sleeve. Also, I'm sleeveless. I've got something up my sleeve. And so what we're trying to introduce now, and we haven't introduced it, I was waiting until today to actually officially launch it here with you. So we just opened a drone division.
Wow.
But the costs are still pretty high. I don't think that a single estate can afford the services of a 24-hour drone surveillance. So what I will be doing this week, I will reach out to my estates, which I look after, and see if we can sort of split the costs. They are significantly high. They're really high. And I can, on one drone, I can add on 5 largish estates. So we could split the monthly cost divide. You can divide it by 5. Must remember, a drone is an unmanned, specified or classified as an unmanned aircraft. So you need pilots, pilot license, drone license, licenses for everything. That all cost money. So you have pilots working for you from a different control center. And we are synced in our control center with our control center. What these pilots see, we see live. If we see something on our, let's say, boundary fence line, and the pilot misses it, we point it out via an arrow, whatever. We point it out on click on the computer, on the map, and they see it, and they can then direct the drone to that site.
You talk about drone cover. Is this a permanent eye in the sky, or is it deployed
It's semi, because you must remember the flight time of the drones we are using is about 45 minutes, right? If you incorporate several estates in there, you have to now take the travel time in consideration. These things go like between 50 and 80 k's an hour, weather permitting. These things are like, they're like faster.
And you say weather permitting, do they operate in inclement weather?
They operate in harsh weather conditions.
Wow, because of the wind factor as well.
Yeah, absolute downpour, no, that would be too much. I mean, we have an R-44 and it's the same thing, you know, a chopper. That's also can't operate in heavy wind conditions and in downpour conditions. It can't operate either, you know.
So it's pretty weather dependent.
So it's the same thing. But no, I think the drone can do more than an R-44 chopper, to be quite honest.
This is going to give you top cover for the areas that possibly have limited camera
inaccessible, surveillance. Many inaccessible due to terrain, etc. But as I say, presently it's still quite expensive. But to go into the drones, just to speak about drones a little bit, because it is new technology, the operating height is about 4 to 6 kilometers. So they can fly up to 4 to 6 kilometers in height. I don't know how much that is in feet. If you can Google that.
But we're on a bit of a flight path here as well to the airport, so you don't want to go up like that.
That's why you have dedicated pilots to do that. It's quite a mission. It's good. That's why it is so expensive. You have to have mean, to fly a 24-hour drone, yeah, you need obviously three pilots.
And is that drone going to have communication technology, in other words, lights and speakers, so that you can alert the perpetrator to the fact that they have now been spotted they must now stand and deliver?
Yeah. Look, there are obviously different type of drones. There are different type of docking stations.
You're not going to be dropping bombs on them.
Well, I won't comment on that. Well, if it was me, I most probably would. So, you know, but yeah, you obviously have different kind of drones. And the ones we use have infrared thermal technology. They do not have, the ones we use do not have speakers as far as I remember now. I'm not the super drone person, so I'm
but
not.
But you'll be able to do search and recovery of missing people and maybe animals as well.
But they use it on the game farms. It's used already for...
You're picking up the thermal yeah, signals, yeah. So you get a fantastic... You know,
I mean, I was told the other day, when was it, last week, a drone was used on one of the well-known game farms, and they were missing a lioness. And the drone picked up through thermal the lioness, and she was lying underneath a bush. She was giving birth, and when the drone came, they virtually filmed her giving birth live.
Wow!
You know, and that's obviously something. So yeah, they picked up the lion because the lioness didn't have a collar on. Oh. And they couldn't find the line.
I'm just thinking in terms of the drone technology. I know that many of the states, those that have wild spaces, have been concerned about on their boundaries, maybe not in the estate, but certainly in the green belts around them. There's been a proliferation of poaching through yeah. snares, etc.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
would you be able to engage in that sort of...
We had that as well on certain of our estates. And we're very much into anti-poaching as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the Tinley Manor site, if you look at Jack's Estate, if you look at Club Met, I mean, when we went out the last time to the dead whale, it was called in as poaching, muscle poaching, and the muscle poaching is hectic.
Yeah.
For that, obviously, a drone would be like absolutely ideal. You know, we have a smaller drone, but that's, you must remember, so if you use it for personal use, it's allowed to fly it. As soon as you use it for business, it's not allowed to fly it.
Yeah.
You know, you need licenses. And for that, it would be absolutely ideal. You know? The poaching is hectic there. I mean, the muscle banks are just, they're virtually raped there. There's nothing left on that side.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, and that one gets tremendously depressed about the state of the ocean, particularly where the poaching is out of control. But it was just out of curiosity. I was standing on rocks in Bolito the other day, Salmon Bay area, and looking at the channels, just wherever water runs in channels on those naked rocks almost, because they've been stripped.
Yeah.
But every single channel is full of small mussels. Mm-hmm. So they grow back very...
They do grow back, but it takes time.
Given a chance. So that's what they need now, is that... So let's talk about the technology in another sense. With all the sort of smart technology that is being built now into homes and businesses, I'm talking about automation, really. Does your technology, can it integrate with that?
What, with the drone technology?
No. Just generally, is your security monitoring technology. In other words, can one arm and unarm?
Oh, yeah, remotely. Yeah, you can do that. You must remember, we're now 5G technology. You have to have a network. If you don't have a network, it will not work, like with everything, you know. It's network dependent. You have to have a network. There are a few dead spots in Bolito. There are a few dead spots. I don't want to point them out again because it would be a security risk. There are a few dead spots there. There are a few dead spots there. But in general, to 99%, yes.
So security has become extremely high-tech, or
remote arm and disarm, we do that for the last... I can't even remember, 10, 15 years or so, yeah. Something like that.
I mean, I use it every day. And it works like a bomb. I'm particularly impressed with the fact that if you forget, because one does, you know, human beings get distracted. And if there's a certain time that you normally arm a premises and it has been half an hour, beyond that,
yeah.
I get a call from IPS.
Well, I hope so, that's the point. You know, it's programmed on the computer.
It's
so
important.
Missed closing, missed opening, whatever it is. Yeah.
Very, very good. One final question. Time is always against us here, but you mentioned how expensive it is to operate high-tech equipment and to deliver the service that you do. That sort of cost on pricing how do you structure your pricing for the business or the homeowner that is keen to engage with you?
Well, I don't think that a normal homeowner can afford it. It's just I can't give you prices because of competition. And
I'm not talking about the drone technology. I'm just talking about your service, your security service.
My security services are, I can tell you, it's 480 rand a month. Okay, and you need to compare apples with apples. You know, people say, "Well, but I get it for 350." Yeah, you get it for 350, but have you got six armed reaction vehicles? No. Competitor number A has two vehicles and competitor number B has one vehicle. So compare apples with apples, you know. And they might charge you 350. As well, you must remember, if a new business comes into the area, they go in low. And then they hike up the prices after a year because they cannot not sustain it. It's not sustainable. And keep in mind, the armed response business has reached its limit, You can't grow in the armed response. It's impossible because, and that's what people don't seem to understand, you are limited in armed response because of the estates. People in estates don't really have alarms. You know, they don't. I mean, I don't have an alarm as such. I have my safes obviously monitored and my wine cellar is monitored, but I don't have an alarm as such. So, yeah, that's... You know, you're not growing on your alarm side anymore.
Okay, but I see that freestanding dwellings are becoming extraordinarily valuable again, because they have the sea views generally, and they have access and freedom to let's just say they're freer than many of the estate rules and regulations, which many people don't enjoy.
Yeah.
So that there is growth there, but apart from that, are there hidden costs? For example, call outs. If you have a situation and you hit the button and the guys respond, do you charge extra for that?
We don't do it. I know that others do it. We don't do it. Obviously, if your alarm, so we check every week, and then my control room supervisor comes and he combines a list, you know, electronically. He says, "Whoa, okay, this person had like 24 alarms in the last week," and then he will contact the person, said, "Listen, we had 20 something false alarms and we need to check your alarm system." And there's obviously a call out attached to it, and then we check it, we give a recommendation, and we obviously find the fault. If the person does not accept the quotation, I can't carry on going like 20 something times to a call out. That's impossible. So I will stop responding and I will tell the client I have to stop responding here, you know. But most people then say, "Okay, let's see what is wrong, let's fix it you know. And so we're not charging it. We're picking it up and we inform you. But if nothing is done about it, then we will say, "Listen, we will charge. From now on, we will charge you a call-out fee." Usually we don't do it.
And then one final question. This is something that irks a lot of folk. You have an alarm that goes off. It's been... Clearly, the homeowner isn't there, or it's an absentee homeowner.
The nightmare of the neighbor, yeah.
Yeah.
The neighbor's
and
nightmare.
It just goes constantly. Can you, if it's one of your clients, can you switch that alarm off?
No. In theory, I could. If I wanted to, I could. But I stayed away from it because the other companies did it, and there's a lot of finger pointing. And something was wrong. You switch the alarm off, there's a break-in. And the finger will point at you and your control room. Oh. And I will not do it.
So just for the person that, or people that are affected by this nuisance, what is the correct procedure then to try and get some kind of response? Would it be a police issue?
Well, it depends, obviously, on the... We handle everything. You know, we virtually handle everything from domestic violence this weekend to domestic violence incidents. We handle everything. And if we can't handle it, or we think... let's call SEPSIN rather, you know, because often...
Just to switch off the errant alarm, there's a problem.
On the alarm side now, okay. Well, then we try to contact the client, obviously, and, you know, try to reach him and say, "Your alarm is going off. Can you please, like, come home and switch it off?" You know? And I had one incident just when I started. I remember it was a pilot, and he wanted to be linked up on a Friday. I said, "Listen, don't want to mention his name." And I said to him, "Listen, like, can we not do it rather when you come back? Because we're rushing on the Friday and something happens and we can't have access to your alarm, you know?" Like, and I actually said, "If your alarm goes off, what do we do?" Stress Bob. You know, he wanted to be linked up and the alarm started going off on Saturday, whole Sunday. So it was so bad, I had to get my technicians to actually get into his roof, get to, onto his premises, get to the roof, open the roof tiles, and cut the area.
Wow.
You know, and it was in Salt Lake. It was a high point. It was virtually disturbing the whole valley, you know. So yeah. it happens.
But generally speaking, you have things under control to a degree where you've got a communication with the owner, and so you sort it out that way. Yeah. That's good to know.
I mean, you must remember, if you drive, if you go to whatever, a car dealer, and they sell you a car, you know, they're not liable for your driving. They sell you a car, right? How you drive the car is up to you, you know. And it's the same with the alarm. We install the alarm, and it will be working 100%. It's how you use it or how you misuse it. You know, it's like
So if you've got dogs and cats that are setting it off,
and you know this from the beginning because we will ask and we will tell you. You know,
so it could be a neighborhood issue, and maybe the neighborhood should get together. And the neighborhood watch, etc. Maybe that's a way of at least you know we understand. We all live together, and we're a big village here that's becoming a big town, which is growing to, well, city status has been proclaimed. Yeah. We'll see whether we get there or not. But the good thing to know is that the crime rate in our, let's call it a city in waiting, is one of the lowest in the country, largely because of security, private security companies like IPSS that has led the way and continues to do so, which is why we're very pleased to have this relationship and the ability to interact and to ask the questions, to get the answers. My special guest this morning, Frank Labidi from IPSS, now launching into the world of top cover with drone protection. Watch this space, folks. I think it's going to become really interesting. One final thing.
Yeah, there's one final thing because I think Claire prepped for that for quite a while. Everything needs to be registered on the drone side with the SACAA, which stands for, I'll give that to Claire now.
South African Civil Aviation Authority.
There's a bit of a tongue twister. Yeah. So everything, your drones, your pilots, everything needs to be registered, yeah.
So you're doing it right.
Yeah, we're doing it right, yeah. Course. I always say, do it right or don't do it at all.
There we go. Our very special guest from IPSS, Frank Labidi from IPSS Electronic Security. And if you have a security matter that needs attention, you know where to go. That's where we leave it for today. And this will be up as a podcast very shortly. And clearly, if you have only just joined us or you missed a conversation, you want to hear it again, you're welcome to. It's on The Morning Show.